Hello, and welcome to Columboys, a podcast all about the gold-framed, crushed velvet, groovy world of Lieutenant Columbo. I'm Macintosh, and with me, as always, is Benjamin. Greetings and salutations, Benjamin.
Hey, Macintosh.
Welcome. This week, we're talking about Season 1, Episode 4 of Columbo, Suitable for Framing. Appearing in this episode in The Victim is Don Ameche, who had a long career as a mustachioed leading man, but is best known to modern audiences as one of the elderly rich asshole Duke brothers from Trading Places, and as Shadow, the very old dog who gets trapped in a mud pit in Homeward Bound: The Incredible Journey. That movie also starred Michael J. Fox, who appeared in the 1996 film The Frighteners, which was directed by a pre-Lord of the Rings Peter Jackson and featured Sean Astin in a supporting role. Did you know that while shooting Lord of the Rings, actor Viggo Mortensen was nearly killed when a stuntman playing an orc mistakenly threw a real dagger at him during the climactic fight scene in The Fellowship of the Ring? Not filming, Mortensen kept his sword with him at all times so he could remain in character. He was questioned a couple times by the police after being spotted by members of the public.
Oh, my.
The filming involved massive amounts of armor and weapons.
Mac, how much of this is there?
You mean more Lord of the Rings trivia?
Yeah, I mean, or Viggo Mortensen trivia, I guess.
Okay, all right, fine. So look, I looked up stuff about this episode and it wasn't that interesting. And I love Lord of the Rings and I just wanted to talk. Okay, fine. All right, fine. Okay. The lady at the party was played by Sandra Gould, who was Gladys Kravitz on Bewitched. Okay, happy. She left behind a legacy of nosy neighbors on sitcoms.
Yes, that's much better. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, great. Fine. Let's just do the episode like normal then. Fine. And we'll not talk about Lord of the Rings.
No, we can talk about Lord of the Rings, just that's not on this podcast.
Okay, all right, fine. So this week we're doing...
No, I mean, okay.
It's fine. Yeah. I'm fine.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. But thank you for breaking me out of it, because I would have gone on for a while.
Suitable for framing.
Suitable for framing. So in this episode, let's just do the basic breakdown.
Yeah.
This has got to be the quickest... to murder, I think, of anyone yet.
Yeah.
You barely get a sense of where you are before the gun goes off.
Yeah, you have almost no idea what's going on.
There's a man playing piano. I don't think you ever see his face. Another man comes in who looks like a bargain basement Robert Preston.
I'm going to be honest, from a distance,
yeah.
I immediately had this confusing moment where I thought we were on Fantasy Island.
Oh, because he looks like Tattoo?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I can see that. He's like in between Robert Preston, the music man.
Right.
And a little bit of Hervé Villechaize.
Yeah, just a touch. Yeah. But I mean, also because they're both so dressed up, I had that moment.
That's true. I mean, this guy, so he's played by one of the actors from The Wild Wild West, which is the first steampunk thing. So you know the Will Smith movie Wild Wild West?
Yes.
There was a television show called Wild Wild West, which was cool because it was James Bond in the Old West, which is cool.
No, that's a great idea.
But it was like steampunk, and they had like Q gadgets, but they were based in like technology of the time.
Mac, why didn't you tell me about this sooner?
It's a real cool thing.
Do we get to rewatch that too?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, that's on our other podcast.
But so he was, yeah.
Okay, hold on. Now it's a race. Now it's a race.
Nope. Nope.
We'll come back.
Yeah.
We'll come back.
We'll put it in post.
That's good radio. I'm going to think of one and then I'm going to drop it in when I edit this right here.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I'm sure it was great. I'm sure it was hilarious.
Let's be real. You will shout it out the moment that we have a bit of dead space while we are doing this right now. And then we will have to put it back there.
Absolutely. He comes in and shoots this man.
Blam, blam.
Who we later learn is his uncle.
Yep.
And then he goes about making it look like a robbery. Mm-hmm. A woman comes.
Oh, we should clarify. This place is full of
fine art. Fine art, yes.
In fact, there are several shots where they have like a noisemaker that they spin and a bang.
Yeah, they
like all of the... art of people are witnesses.
They're all witnesses. Yes. They're all judging him as he makes his murders. So the woman comes in. She's an art student mm-hmm. who We will later find out this guy is an art critic, a television art critic.
A famous art critic.
Famous television art critic. And this is his uncle's art collection.
Right.
So he gives her two paintings, which are worth $500,000, which in those days, $500,000, we're talking like $20 to $30 million at this point. Like it's
they're very valuable.
Very, very valuable.
I think when they are going over the crime scene, there is a mention of them being like the most valuable out of the collection.
Possibly, yeah. Or certainly that, one of the most valuable.
Something to that extent.
Which is important, we'll get to later.
Well, yeah.
So just to get the basic framing of this.
That was real good.
It's fun. It's fun with words. So the man makes it look like, oh my god,
take your time.
So he makes it look like he is his uncle is still alive by putting a heating blanket on him, mm-hmm. so that the body won't cool down. He goes to a party. The woman stays behind and fires a shot to alert a security guard who comes in, hears her running away. And then he's established as being at the party, and this woman, since she has no connection to the murder, they don't know who she is and they don't suspect.
Right.
Then there's just a series of complications, basically. Like it's not, there really isn't anything more that happens other than that we find out that the uncle was leaving all of the paintings to his ex-wife.
Who he had recently started kind of connecting with again.
Right. And that's sort of revealed as though the killer didn't know, but it turns out that he did know.
He definitely knew.
He knew, and he was trying to frame his aunt, who's played by Kim Hunter.
Right.
From Planet of the Apes and the Streetcar Named Desire, the Brando streetcar.
As you pointed out to me, you can see it in her eyes.
In her eyes, yes. She's very extremely expressive eyes, which is one of those things that I think when you're watching Planet of the Apes, and when you're watching this too,
you'll see.
It makes that character very expressive. I think that's probably why she was cast for the role, because she can act with her eyes, even though the rest of her face was covered in plastic.
Right, completely covered by this awkward prosthetic.
Yeah, so she's very good in this, and she was very good in Planet of the Apes. She's, I think, one of the high points, I think, of that entire series.
Oh, yeah.
She was going to get the paintings, but if he frames her for the murder, she can't inherit the paintings. Because you cannot receive, you cannot inherit something that you basically did a crime. You cannot
did a crime.
If you did a crime, you can't get
you do the time.
You
no,
can't
wait.
Get the goods. You can't get whatever the fruits are of that crime.
Yeah, you are no longer eligible to inherit from a person if you
exactly. It's like when you steal something from a store, even though you had that in your possession, you don't actually get to keep it. It's the same principle.
Yeah.
So if he can frame her successfully, I don't think that there's any point where Columbo isn't onto this guy.
Oh, no.
I think it's one of the rare cases. I think of the ones we watched, he's been pretty onto it. But I think this one, he's onto him the moment the guy steps through the door and possibly beforehand.
Yeah, I think the second that he shows up is when Columbo is on to this guy's bullshit.
Yeah, and that has a lot to do with the fact that this is the most suspicious man I have ever seen.
He is so bad at this.
He's so bad at being a murderer. He is constantly talking through gritted teeth. He's always like looking furtive.
Right. He's never visibly upset that his uncle was murdered. He just immediately jumps to being aggravated that Columbo is asking him questions that, you know, indicate that he's a suspect, even though he knows he's the most likely suspect
He's both being very gracious and trying to eliminate himself, and at the same time being super irritated that Columbo is asking him any questions.
Yes.
It's really like the worst of all possible worlds.
Oh yeah. Well,
as far as being a suspect.
Right. And then to make matters worse, his elaborate plan to frame his uncle's ex-wife is so over the top.
Like, it's very, very bad. Because instead of just planting the gun or planting the the stolen paintings or planting the wrapper. He plants all of them. And he plants them all in incredibly obvious ways.
Yeah.
Like this. So like Columbo in the scenario
even,
of...
Even bags on him for it, basically.
Yeah. In the scenario that he's creating, his aunt shot the guy, ran down the hill, tossed the gun into her own bushes.
Right.
And then took identifiable wrapping paper from the place.
That had the address of the place on it.
Address of the place on it. And then... hid the paintings inside her own
linen
house
closet.
In the linen closet.
Yeah. Yeah. And left the wrapper like in the trash outside in like the trash bin. Didn't, as Columbo says, like, no, and I think if she did it, she would have burned it instead of just putting it in her own trash.
Right. And also, why would she have done any of this?
Yeah.
Because she was already going to. She was going to inherit everything,
right?
And
why would she?
It seems like from the conversation that she has with Columbo, she was on good terms with this guy anyway. And they were getting back together, and she left him because he started like
it, because none of the, he was like well it was that
he
mix
was
of,
too he was
he
too,
was business obsessed
right
and she kind of.
She was a little bit of a party girl in when they were younger. And so they got divorced. And
that was 15 years ago.
That was 15 years ago. And then he got all the paintings. And now that they're reconciling, he's going to sell all the paintings.
Right. But the drop there was when Columbo is having a casual chat with her. And she's talking about how what he wanted her to do with it was donate the paintings, was essentially give them away rather than profit off of them.
He wanted to do that. He was going to do that with her, but he wanted to make sure that in the event something happened to him, that all of the paintings would go to institutions and museums and schools and things. Because
if they went to
he'd had a change of heart and thought that instead of amassing all this art for a private collection, you know, I'm just going to send it out and art is for, he'd had one of those art is for the world sort of things and he's going to donate all his art, which of course is repellent to this art critic who is incredibly greedy and terrible and just the worst.
Right. And poor.
And poor. Right.
Even though he has these very lavish suits. Sorry.
I have a quick question about that.
Yeah.
He's a television star.
Right.
He has a TV show.
He does have
like,
a TV show.
I recognize that. Not everyone who is an art critic is going to have a lot of money. Although in the 70s, art critics could do very well.
Oh yeah,
like and I'm sure some still do. But he has a television show now.
Right.
It is an LA television show, but it's still a television show.
Well, that's the thing though, is it's an LA television show, and this is an era when it's not like. You know, it's not like now where like I have a television show. It's on the internet.
No, he
you
was
know,
on.
It's on CISO.
He was on one of
peace,
three channels. Yeah.
But and that's the thing is so like there's no way that he was as poor as he makes himself out to be. So that's actually my favorite thing is that when Dale is getting all indignant with Columbo about how poor he is and everything, that he takes his key off of his keychain to be like, go look at my apartment. You'll see what I live like. I don't own any art, blah, 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 blah. And Columbo takes the fucking key.
Takes his key. That's
like,
right.
Calls the bluff and watching his, like, the look on Dale's face is so good.
Yeah.
When Columbo just goes, you know what? I will take this.
Well, yeah. Because
he initially kind of makes it like, no, you're right. I kind of push too hard and I'm sorry. And then he just casually takes the key.
That's an ongoing Columbo thing is to not ask the question, but then accept whatever answer has been taken.
He's very good at that.
He's good.
It's so good. But that was
so
like,
he goes over to Columbo goes over to the guy's house, takes a nap, and while the
puts the key under the mat like the guy tells him to.
Yeah.
And so the guy is actually coming in after having met with the art student that he used.
Right, he's murdered. He's off murdering his accomplice.
Right.
Who is named...
I wrote it down somewhere.
Jenny? Something like that.
Nope, I missed it. No, I thought I wrote it down.
Jenny? Samantha?
It's on her
Amber.
Painting.
It's on the painting, yeah. That's why I think it's Jenny.
See, I knew... Yeah, you're probably right.
I don't know.
I feel bad I didn't write her name.
Well, she doesn't have a very like developed part. She's basically playing woman who gets in over her head, basically.
Yeah. Poor art student who falls for an art critic who probably tells her that her art is great when it's not.
Yep. And she pays the price.
Yep. But yeah, so he brings those paintings home.
Tracy,
that's it. He brings those paintings home.
Yes, and he brings the stolen paintings. He murders the woman and takes the paintings from her. She's got the two stolen paintings. It's also worth noting that these two very valuable stolen paintings are the only paintings that were stolen out of the entire collection, and they're also one of the most valuable, which Columbo immediately thinks is suspicious.
Right.
He thinks, and he says that if someone was stealing this, must have been someone who had a knowledge of art.
Yeah, immediately he susses out, to hone in on these paintings, especially with a sort of supposed murder where the person was caught unaware and got into a conflict with the person who lived in the house.
Yeah, because the way that they framed it is that the uncle came downstairs, found the person grabbed a gun, went and got... Actually, the way they're framing it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. And he says, and Columbo says that pretty much right away.
Yeah, because...
They make it out like the uncle then goes to his study to get his gun.
He was upstairs because it was 11 o'clock at night, so he must have been in his bed.
Right.
he comes downstairs. He finds the thieves. He then... Either he or the thieves go to the office, get the gun, go back into the drawing room, the piano room, wherever the piano is, and then they have another struggle.
And that's where
he gets shot.
Which doesn't make any sense at all, because if they saw him rush into the study, chances are they would follow him in there, and that's where he would have been murdered. But he
wasn't
playing piano there when his...
Also, nothing is taken from the study, but it's all torn up.
He tussles it up as if they had a fight there, and that fight, it doesn't make any sense, because why would that fight
spill over into this other room?
To the piano.
Which is pretty far away. It's not like they're adjacent to each other in the house. Yeah. I think it's across the hall, right? It's it's a decent distance
away. It's a bit of a hike. Yeah.
So it doesn't, it's a murder that doesn't make any logical sense, really. But I think that may be more a fault of the way that it was filmed and the way that it was constructed than necessarily the fault of the murder, the in-universe murder.
The character.
I think that might just be more of a production thing than necessarily.
I think you're right. I think it's probably a production thing and not meant to be a sort of in-character, in-universe mistake.
Right.
Because there are plenty of those, and those are very apparent.
And at no point... Columbo really, they don't really dig into it in the way that they do, the actual mistakes.
Yeah, not the way that they normally would if it were meant to be part of the story.
I think that this is a good frame. I think, it has incredibly strong performances.
Yes.
Even though that this guy is so odious and terrible and bad a murderer.
He's so bad at it.
He's very bad at it.
My dude.
But he's very good at being a bad murderer.
Absolutely. I meant to do this earlier, but I just have to interject, and I'm only going to talk about one of his outfits. He's got a couple that are amazing.
This has got to be a record. I think we're 20 minutes in, and this is the first mention of clothing.
Listen, it's the first thing that I wrote down.
You paused it because you had to write about the tuxedo he's wearing at the beginning.
Yes. Well, because it's a crushed... It's a crushed velvet,
it's purple.
Blue.
It's like a bluish purple, yeah.
Like dinner jacket,
right?
And then it's got these massive, 5-inch notch lapels
that are like a black velvet.
Yeah. Well, they should be pique or shawl, not notch. And so that, and then of course, has the gigantic oversized bow tie and a ruffled shirt,
which
has ruffled cuffs, and they're French cuffs. So it's not just . Yeah, so everything very, very of the time. But I gotta say, that crushed velvet.
Yeah. Does that cufflink thing ever come up again, or is that just a dropped thread?
It was just a
red
herring.
Is that just a misdirect?
It was a red herring, because, by this point, it feels like they know to kind of drop a couple of things like that.
Yeah.
For those of us who are like, ooh, I bet that comes up later, and then it's just
absolutely
no, it doesn't.
Did not, yeah. Yeah. No, there's a point where a valet... at a gallery says that he was tipped $2 because the guy helped him, or because he helped the murderer
find his cufflink.
Find his cufflink, or didn't find his cufflink.
Except he says that he didn't find the cufflink.
Right. And so you're thinking, oh, maybe the cufflink is with the paintings, right. But it isn't. It never comes back up again. No. So he just
Well, he actually mentions that he caught it in his sleeve lining.
Oh, okay.
Of, I think, his top coat.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah.
May have been when I was out of the room.
Well, no, he was busy being surly with Columbo in that, how dare you accuse me of anything? I see what you're trying to do. It's like, well, of course you do.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is that I think that is a valid choice. I think if someone, if a police lieutenant was accusing you of murder, whether or not you had done it, you'd probably be surly.
No,
I know, have been the many times I've been accused of murder.
I'm sorry. Okay,
well,
it was a mistake.
Look, I didn't murder those guys. And you following me around, smoking those cigars.
Can we talk about this later?
Okay, fine. Okay, fine. All right. I think that it's the strong performances that really carry this one because I think the actual plot of it is not very good.
Yeah, well, it's a little thin because it takes so long to walk you as the audience to the He rewrote the will to give this stuff to his ex-wife, or at least make sure that she had custody of it. Yeah. And so that's what, so he's trying to frame her so that it rolls, so that it trickles down to him.
And it doesn't have like the intensity of the Robert Culp episode.
No.
You know, it doesn't have that thing where you sense that this is a dangerous man being dangerous.
Yeah.
It
doesn't have that intensity at all.
No. And the plot isn't very intricate.
No.
It's just throw the gun in my aunt's bushes, basically.
It's kind of very straightforward. I mean, you're right. It is. This one is so much more built on the performances of the guest stars.
Yeah.
I will say...
Kim Hunter is great. Don Ameche is great. You've got bit players who are all doing great. There's the guy who played Mel... from Alice's restaurant.
Oh yeah,
he's the artist.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
Vic
right.
Tayback.
Yeah. What is that artist's name?
It doesn't matter.
Sam Franklin.
Yes.
I mean, the only reason that's written down is because he had that amazingly loud paisley shirt.
That's true.
A Robert Graham shirt was dropped in a time portal and showed up in the
70s. He's pretty great. This is, I think, the first instance of Columbo walking in on a naked woman, which becomes a leitmotif that carries through the entire series.
Oh, I don't know how I feel about that, Mac. It is kind of funny to watch him be uncomfortable.
He's very, very uncomfortable. There's a scene where he goes to the gallery to speak with this artist and the gallery owner who are the alibi.
Right.
And he walks in on a painting session and there's a model there being painted by Vic Tayback.
Yeah.
And she's completely nude, but very, very covered up.
Yeah.
Because it was the 1970s. So there's like a giant, like you can basically see her head.
Yeah.
And her knees.
Right. And her knees.
Yeah. And
that's
about
behind
it.
The painting.
That's behind the painting.
Painting.
Yeah. It's very, very, very.
That's cute.
Framed, but but Columbo is incredibly uncomfortable.
I do just want to say the bit where after the art student she is found in her car, supposedly it's a car accident, blah blah blah,
right?
When he is talking to her landlady,
yeah,
asking about her gentleman callers and that kind of thing, and,
yeah,
you know, where she's like, I'm not a busybody and all of that.
It's another great performance. It's by a woman who was one of the, speaking of Music Man, she was one of the hens, you know, in the Pick a Little, Talk a Little.
That's great.
Yeah, so she's one of those busybody ladies that town. And,
she
is well cast as a busybody, this particular actor.
And she's great. And it's a really, it's actually one of the, I will say it's one of the moments where I first went, oh, this is a comedic scene that is landing.
Yeah.
As she takes him through her photo album and gets completely distracted.
She's trying to find a picture of this woman's older gentleman caller.
Older, distinguished gentleman caller.
Who Columbo thinks is probably the art guy.
Right.
And it's another case of a red hair. Like, that scene doesn't actually get
it
you anything.
No, it doesn't.
Because
it
when she finds the photo, it's of a different guy.
Right. And that was the thing, is it was very clearly, like, completely about the comedic effect.
Yes.
And And I mean, it worked for me.
It's fine. Yeah. It doesn't take anything away from the case, which is very thin and does not really require Columbo to stretch very often. In fact, the way that he solves this case is basically by being a busybody.
Oh yeah.
By like putting in, put, like by like so when he is sleeping in the guy's apartment, the guy, he comes in with the art,
with the stolen art,
and he tells Columbo it's just some watercolors that they're having me review, which I don't know a lot about art criticism, but I don't think it involves
taking it home
and just like having art at home.
Yeah, you don't get an at-home test.
I don't think that's how it works. I think you probably would go to like a gallery and look at the art, and then
I think Columbo knew that too, because the first thing he does is he jams his hand into
the art bag.
Art bag.
I think that's what it's called. I don't know if there is another, if there's another term for it. I'm sure an artist will correct us, but those large,
like a portfolio
square
kinda,
portfolio bags. Yeah. And so he reaches down in and grabs the paintings.
Yep.
And that's how they find him, because when they are searching the aunt's house and they find these paintings, they've got Columbo's fingerprints on them. And how else could his fingerprints?
Right. Because when they find the gun, Dale keeps trying to press Columbo about, well, you know, I'm sure she didn't do it, but did you search her house? And like all of these, like really pushing him so hard. It's like, dude,
it's such a great scene, because you've got Columbo basically going like, no, I know she didn't do it. I mean, obviously she didn't do it. I'm talking to her. She's not a murderer. And the guy's going like, well, I hope you don't think she did it. And he's like, no, I don't. I absolutely don't. I'm pretty sure she's being framed, or someone threw it there, or something's going on.
Yeah, I know
definitely wasn't her. And the guy's like, well, you should probably search her house. And Colin's like, No,
I don't want to put her through that.
I don't think that's fine. I don't think that'll be necessary.
Like, and so he,
you definitely should though.
Right. And so then Dale tries to
about that. Where he says you definitely should.
Yeah.
What's his plan at that point? Because the police are all over. At that exact moment, the police are all over the house. And he doesn't have an opportunity to get the paintings into the house.
Yeah, they're not there.
They're with him. They're in his car, or they're in his home or somewhere. So it is weird that he pushes that hard to get them into the house, because later we find he has to smuggle them in.
Right.
And that's that, you know, when they do the actual search.
Mm-hmm.
So it is weird that he is pushing that hard for something that he knows they won't be there. So that's the weird part.
Where it's like, where he hasn't put them there yet.
Yeah.
And that also comes on the heels of them finding the wrapping paper at her trash bin after she's already gone out and gone shopping.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you should probably search her house. And he's like, nah, I mean, I don't think she did it, because she would have actually tried to get rid of this instead of just putting it somewhere that would be the first place we would look.
I think that this is a particular episode where you have a very well written characters and very well written scenes and a very poorly written murder.
Yeah.
I don't think that the murder makes internal sense. And I don't think that their murderer's plot makes sense.
I don't know if that is
a character choice, or is that a failure of writing?
Right. And honestly, it feels more like it's not stitched together well by the writing.
Yeah, and possibly this might be an editing problem or some kind of something like that.
It feels more like that than necessarily anything else. Because the general gist of the idea of like, well, I'm going to kill him and then frame the person who's in line ahead of me so that I get all of the stuff that I want. Like, that's fine. That he's terrible at it is also fine. But like, there are points in that where it is more terrible than the story would lead you to believe. As far as those things like, well, you should totally search her house right now when I haven't, you know,
planted it yet. Yeah.
So you won't find anything. And then... yeah, like what was his plan if Columbo said yes?
That's a very good question. I don't know if he has one.
And he probably didn't have a plan, because there are a number of times where there's a really just wonderful, stupid look on his face when Columbo surprises him. And it's pretty great.
I think this episode is eminently watchable.
Oh, yeah.
Great performances, like really great dialogue. But I think that the mystery itself is bad. And is ultimately fails.
But I mean, Dale is so easy to hate.
Yes,
he's so easy to hate that it's a real joy to just watch him. get upset and
I don't
worked up.
I don't necessarily get the same kind of joy that I do from a Robert Culp is the thing. Like, I'm looking for that Culp magic, that like frustrated, you know.
Yeah, but you're a connoisseur.
That's true. I'm a connoisseur of suffering. So
I meant of Columbo, because you've seen these before and I haven't.
It's very good. What I want is someone who can match Columbo. Like, that's the ideal, is you want someone who at the very least is sort of on par. And this guy isn't in Columbo's league in the slightest.
No.
Like, it's not a question of whether Columbo will catch him. It's just a question of when.
Right.
Like, there are other ones. Obviously, Columbo catches all of them. Spoiler alert, he always wins.
Right.
There's no Columbo where he's just like, well, that was weird. I don't know. Well, bye.
Well, that one got away. Yeah, that's not how
that's not a thing. He always figures it out, and he always like cracks the case. You know, what ultimately happens to the culprit is, you know, here or there. But
right.
He always figures out what actually happens.
Yeah.
And there is no point where Columbo is not going to figure out what this dummy did.
Right.
Because he did the dumbest murder.
Yeah. Most obvious murder.
He's bad at murder, and he doesn't deserve that art.
Yeah. You're right. He doesn't deserve it. And guess what?
He doesn't get it. Nope.
Yep.
He goes to jail.
Nope.
This guy.
Yeah, that guy. Well, I got to say, I mean, yeah, the Robert Culp and the, like, when you mentioned that there are like four times that Patrick McGoohan shows up on this show, I can't wait.
It's going to be good. They're coming up.
I'm real excited about that.
So I think that's going to do it for this week.
Yeah.
This has been the Columboys. Thank you, Ben.
Hey, thanks, Mac.
Oh, just one more thing, sir.
Yeah.
Did you know that Weta Workshop used over 12.5 million plastic rings to fabricate simulated chainmail for the films? The two crew members spent the length of the shoot linking the rings by hand into suits of armor, you know, at the end of it.
Columboys is hosted by Mac Johnson and Ben Swallow. You can follow them on Twitter at MacJ and at DandyGeek. The Columboys theme is by Seth Boyer. For more information about this and other great Waffle Media projects, you can go to waffle.media. Thanks for listening.
Our stinger right there.
Is it though?
Yep.
Okay.
I have final edit, so yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, fair. I don't know why I agreed to that.